You gotta look inward to experience the outer space that was built for you. You gotta look inward.
Wait, this is my favorite part though.
You see, I'd rather be a freak than not be unique, as individuality makes life better. Yeah.
Doing too much. This is what happens every time I start a podcast. All right. How are we, Goju Nation? Industry Room number 4080. My name is Tally. You know, when you get me by myself, you're going to get the Q, the V, and the C. I'm not sure if you even recognize that one I gave you. The other ones I gave you before make the most sense. But this one, a little bit different, a little bit different, a little bit different. So watch what we do today. We're going to go a little bit sideways, and we'll let somebody in here. We're going to get there. So follow us on all socials, IG, Facebook, YouTube. That's a YouTube. Threads, X, at Gotham Jungle. All sounds exactly how it sounds. Gotham Jungle, one word. Okay. I was going to do this format a little bit differently, man. I'm just going to bring you in the room and just going to kind of just jump into it, get into it. Because what happens is that we have our conversation, they become their podcast within themselves.
I know
y'all missed him. All right. He calls himself C. Greasy. I hate that. Okay.
See, Greasy.
I call him Christian Gray. All right. Looking nice today. Right. Clean the face up a little bit today.
A little something. Try to be responsible.
A little less rosé. Right. little more rosé. Wants to do a business deal today.
Word. I'm trying to cut the check today. I had to be a different rosé.
Yeah. So I gave him my socials. Give him your socials so you know where to find you at.
Hey, man, official Chris Gray everywhere. Mm-hmm. Just how it's spelled. No spaces, no nothing. Official Chris Gray all over the place.
That's the new one, right? No space, no nothing. It's got to be one word. Otherwise, it word. Gets crazy. It gets gray.
Shit get weird. You talking about dot, underscore, underscore. Yes. All that shit is extra. I ain't with all that.
The trolls are taking half of your name and putting over something else.
Word. They going to find that shit first. We ain't doing that.
It just is crazy, man. I was going to do a couple of things and then kind of have you come in, but I think I'm just going to do this and we kind of do it together because we have our regular conversation. But
let's do it.
So let's do. I do the QVC. I do qualified, verified, certified. That you know, okay. So I'm gonna speak up for the Q for me today. I listen to the albums, so I'm gonna go over a couple albums. You give me your thoughts. We go back and forth. This is how we kind of go through this whole thing. We go through it from there. Okay, so. Give me your thoughts on Mike Delete later, okay? Because I think I'm going to say this first. I'm going to let you run, okay? It's only April. It's only April. I repeat, only April, okay? But J. Cole is the leader in the clubhouse, in my eyes, rap album-wise so far this year, based upon that album. Now you can't take off.
I think J. Cole took a big shit on his album. By undermining the whole point that everybody was waiting for, right? So before this album we knew nothing about was even coming out, everybody was like, where the fuck is Drake and Cole? Kendrick didn't already put the warning out there. We want to hear what the fuck is going on. You put it out with remorse, intentional remorse. It's called Might Delete Later. He was already like, I probably shouldn't even do this. Then he put out an album that wasn't bad. Niggas just like, okay, I listened to it. I ain't the biggest Cole fan, but he's in his lane. Like, he's in his in his form. Right? He knows himself right now. He knows how to be J. Cole. He knows what people are looking for. And he did that. He gave you that on the album. And said, I apologize and all this other shit. And it kind of throws water on everything.
He threw his own water on his own mic on stage by doing that.
You watered everything down. Like, everything that I listen to just sounds like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. And that's just crazy to me because it was good. It was actually going to be good. He was actually about to take it the right way as far as rap hip-hop is concerned. I am that nigga. You're going to have to out-rap me, Kendrick. fuck the little subliminal shit. You're gonna have to out rap me, and then
and that,
kind of just
that
like
would have happened even if 7 Minute Drill wasn't on the project.
Absolutely.
If that song wasn't on the album, that message still comes across very clearly that
yes.
I am officially in my bag. I'm in my, ready for this. I'm not saying this is good. I'm in my blueprint phase.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my blueprint phase, right? Well, I'm just, whatever mm-hmm. I touch, it just sounds right.
It's golden.
It just goes where it goes. And you're going to have to really do something spectacular. That's why I was so quiet. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're right. He almost rained on his own parade at his own. At his own festival by just having that whole conversation where he could have just simply did, especially with the way that he's rapping on that album, he could have simply just took the song off and kept it going. It had a better impact.
He could have deleted the album in 7 days and act like it never happened, and he would have still been God.
And in this day and age, as we're getting into, it may have had a different impact that may have been positive because people would have been like, well, what happened to the album? That actually might have been the impact of the album. Okay.
But, it would have been like, did you hear it? Nah, it's gone. You serious? Now everybody wants to hear it. But I told y'all I might delete it later. It would have been the perfect setup. And he would have just looked like a fucking genius because it would have been like,
this is where
we're shit.
We're going to get into what marketing looks like today compared to then, but you're 1,000% correct. But I do agree with you that he took some shine off of the credibility of how good the album is by him walking back how he felt about Kendrick. Now, and that's in a pure hip-hop sense, okay? On some grown man, we're going to hang out on Saturday with our kids. Good job. On some grown man stuff. Not on them hip-hop stuff. On a hip-hop level, everything you said is 1,000% correct, okay? On men being men, okay? Because remember he said very clearly, I even feel it in my spirit to even want to do it. okay?
Call him. Call that nigga and text him that, though. I don't want to hear it at your show. I didn't pay for that shit.
Right. I didn't even care. It didn't even strike me Word. To want to say something. Okay. So,
right.
so for him being true to himself and speaking up as a man, fine. Hip hop, you know, we want the smoke. So that's
yes.
Okay. But anyway, but for me, lead it in the clubhouse of who has to have a better album than Cole now to be the album of the year, rhyme wise. That's a big statement for me. But you know how I feel about J. Cole, how I felt about J. Cole. That's a big statement for me.
Absolutely. Especially when rap is concerned. I still think Drake is in the forefront of all of it. It kind of goes where he wants it to go. It means more if he responds, it means more if he gets engaged. Other than that, he's just making music, and it doesn't really matter. Like, they'll never make Drake albums. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just don't make the music Drake makes.
And he's
in a category of his own, but he's not a rap album necessarily.
I'm good with that.
You know what I'm saying?
And that whole thought process of them being the Jay-Z, Big, and Nas, if that makes sense, right? That's fine, because the Drake album is like a Jay-Z album compared to a Nas album compared to a Biggie album.
Big album, right.
That's basically what the three of them do, because Kendrick doesn't do what J. Cole does. J. Cole Nothing. Doesn't do what Drake does. So in that sense, I'm not trying to overthink it. I'm just saying that I'm simply just okay with that. That's fine. I won't overthink that. But Drake, they haven't kind of landed in an arena where Drake kind of can really have the last say. Potentially have the last say so much going on, because he can answer in a lot of different ways. Remember, his butt's on tour right now, as he's always on tour. He may answer that.
Absolutely.
You know, he may answer by having Dre come on stage with him, and you know what I'm saying? It can go a lot of different ways, right? But that's you got a few more to go through. Okay, that's Dre. Okay, here's the horrible album of the month. Okay, Bryson Tiller.
Bryson Tiller.
This album is horrible. It goes into your point, and I think we'll spend more time here because you know how bad the Bryson Tiller album is, because this is how bad it is, okay? It answers your question is, who's going to take this space that
Tory left
open for over a year now? Who's going to take this space? Because Bryson Tiller, with the EDM record, with the half-ass country record, he has Victoria Monet on the album talking about sitting on the dick. That is a waste.
My thing was, just say it. I don't understand why they almost said it and kept switching it to
something else. She just won 2 Grammys. Why are you treating her like she's a pole dancer?
Right. He hold her out.
You're supposed to make the her Usher record.
But for you're supposed to make my boo, Alicia Keys, yes, and Usher. Like, you're supposed to get
on the pole. Right. Victoria Monet. That's so hard. And watch my thought process. If you're an executive anywhere around this, how are you letting this happen? Like, why does somebody say, what the fuck are y'all talking about? This is not what y'all do. She just won a Grammy. You have it. You trying to get there. Hopefully. Step it up.
Yeah.
This album fucking sucks. I'm sorry.
My take on this album, I listened to it, and I think I made a post today. That's crazy, because I literally said in the post, I desperately tried to like the album. Like, I think I went in like, okay, finally, let me hear some Bryson. Because I don't mind his catalog.
Right.
Right? I'm not mad at his catalog. I can listen to Bryson Tiller. That's not an issue for me. So it's not like I was trying to get over a hurdle. It's not like an artist that I don't listen to that I'm trying to listen to the album. It's a little different. I fuck with Bryson Tiller. But I just feel like he has better music in his catalog than this album. So if I want to hear Bryson, I'm just going to go back to the old. I'm not going to listen to this because he was trying too hard.
Now he's on RCA. I made a point to say, is he independent? He's on a major. He's on a major.
Major, yes.
So I sat back. I said, so there are fools in that office that's trying to tell him what to do, and he's listening. He ain't got no good manager. You need a record. You know, Beyonce about to do this country album. Maybe I should do one. Oh my God. Somebody should have said, hell fucking no.
Okay? Yes, please stop.
Victoria Monet walked in the room. Just like you said, there should have been, my boo should have been playing in the background when she walked in the studio as a reminder of what they should be doing. Okay.
Yep.
The EDM record, I like it a little bit. Okay. The up-tempo, I like it. I just don't like that he up-tempoed the vocal suit. So they sound like mice singing background on the record. And that takes away from the record for me. Okay. Whereas, like, you're trying to be too creative for your own good. Anyway, the bigger point is that he did not fill the void that has been left open by Tory Lanez.
Did not.
And absolutely not. And there's a milk carton alert for Daniel Caesar. There's a milk carton alert for Giveon. Okay. So Usher fucked up with his album after the Super Bowl. So now the 13 female rappers all over the radio have more space in town to play around. Because there's no male R&B singer to take space on the radio. If you even listen to radio.
I mean, shit. There's no relevant R&B artist, period. Not named Chris Brown.
Or SZA.
Male R&B.
Male. No, Chris and Chris Brown made a damn, and my Stephen A. Smith invitation. I'll give credit where credit is due. The 11-11 album is fucking good.
It's a good listen. I can listen to it, and there's songs that when I go into, I want to hear some Chris Brown. I'm gonna pull a song or two from this album, which is what it's all about. You know what I'm saying?
It's weird for me because all he was trying to do, him and Tory Lanez, was in the who. How many bitches can we fuck more than the other person race?
Facts.
Past 2 hours. Okay. Like whose scorecard is bigger and longer? Okay. Anyway. Right. All right. So Bryson Tiller, hell no. I'm saying it out loud. No, don't waste your time. Go to the old stuff. Go to the SoundCloud stuff before you go to this album. That's how bad this album is. Okay.
He wanted to make Trap Soul again, but he did not.
Oh my God. I don't know what that was. Okay. I'm on to the next one. Okay. Glorilla. Earthy. Have you heard her album?
So, I heard that she had an album up. I can't take it. I can't listen to her album or none of this shit. Like, I'm talking about a Megan, Lotto, Glorilla, JT. I don't care about her beef with Carisha.
City Girls.
One song is enough.
They all sound like different members of Bone Thugs and Harmony. Yes, you're a thousand.
The same songs, the same content. I can't do it.
I'm gonna give her one hug. I'm gonna give her one hug because this is her third or fourth album. Just like Migos, when I couldn't stand Migos, and then over time they became palatable because they stopped mumbling and started articulating. So you can say, "Oh, that's what they are talking about."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what this album does for Glorilla.
Okay. It probably does. And
I listened to the whole album twice, and I walked away with songs that I liked. But the biggest takeaway is you can now hear her and understand her, which is a
right.
starting place to say maybe I might like her.
It's not so Memphis.
It's not if it's Memphis. It's Memphis like it's Memphis like two chains now.
Yeah, like that. Like it's not that Atlanta accent sounding shit that you don't understand. It's the okay, I get this. I get this, Atlanta. Like
okay,
right.
Today,
right.
I understand you. And that within itself is almost like, well, now I can listen to you. So now there's a place to build from that with her. So that's what this album does for me. And they're all records that are good. And remember, she's putting the album out because she's about to go on tour with Megan for the summer. So marketing move done for the right reasons. And the records are okay. And if you're a fan, you're already a fan, you won't be disappointed. She did not Bryce Tiller is losing fans with this album.
Yes.
Glorilla will not lose fans. She might actually gain a couple more because they can say, I can hear you.
Right. Okay? I understand it now.
Yes. Next and last album review, okay, is the reboot of the Scarlet album by Doja Cat. Have you heard that?
I did.
Now.
And I honestly think, when we talk about like an artistry music standpoint, just the artist in me, I just don't think they appreciate Doja Cat. Because Doja Cat's fire. Like, she makes some good, listenable albums. If she has 10 songs, you're going to like at least 6. That's like, I can listen to this. It doesn't hurt your ear. It's not like, it doesn't get annoying. She's doing her own thing. I think, you know, when you get that far into artistry, you're going to do weird shit. Like, image-wise, you're going to be doing weird stuff social media-wise. But her music itself is pretty consistent, and that she makes dope music. So, I thought she should have just dropped a new album.
This is why I chime in where I say we're on the same page. Okay? That Attention record from the first Attention, that was a piece of shit. That was a horrible record. Okay? Then she came with, you know, Paint the Town Red, which is what should have been first in the first place and what the label should have done.
Insane. I don't know how they even thought about putting out any other record.
You look at the team, you says, that's in the, did she do that? Was that record done the week before the album dropped? Because that record was in the room, you all need to be fired, right? That type
of thing. Fucked up. Right. Messed up. Absolutely.
Now,
because Paint the Town Red is it. Like, that shit was heat.
Now, on the first album, for 3/4 of the album, he sounded like she was high and just mad at women.
Yes.
Like, high and mad at women. Okay? Because does it get good after Paint the Town Red? Does it get good to Agora Hills?
Right. Yeah. It's a bunch of rambling in between there. Right?
And I always say to myself, why are you so mad at bitch? Everything's bitch. Everybody's so mad at women. Like, women are walking down the street with picket signs trying to rape them with the poles. I don't understand how they just, everything is bitch, this bitch, that. Anyway, that's not my point. When she, it's almost, this is what I like. It's almost like somebody stood up and said, you know, we kind of fucked this album up.
Mm-hmm.
We need to kind of go in and fix this. And somebody said, I think she's at a rehab now. So she might have her head, on straight. Right?
She's not battling spirituality and shit. Like, she was going through some shit.
Yeah, she was going through the shit of spirituality with the bald head, with the hateful t-shirts, right? I think she's at a rehab now, whatever that emotional thing was. And they went back in the studio, and the actual artist that they liked in the first place reappeared.
Showed up. Yeah, she showed up. Right. Okay?
Because the first two songs, you're like, well, okay. This is what we want from you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what she also shows too from the previous album with this version of the album is that she can stand on her own too. Remember the last album, Weeknd, SZA, Ariana Grande, Jesus Christ, 5 Disciples, they're all on that album. Okay. On this one, it's her thing on her own. So those new 7 songs add so much character to the project, it saves the album. Like you just said, I wish that album Scarlet never happened. I wish this was the album.
Right.
Okay.
Make it a new one, yo. Fuck it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's less pressure because adding that to the old album, at some point sooner, they're going to still want a new Doja Cat album because it's the old album, right? Had this been a new project, it'd live longer. They wouldn't have been so fast to be like, we want to hear a new Doja Cat album. But
if
now,
if she did Paint the Town Red into this album,
minus
five songs, because again, like Chris Brown, the songs like 22 songs in. You can take, just like Chris Brown, you can remove five songs, the album's still the same album. You don't still lose good. It. It's still mm-hmm. good. It's just too damn long. Okay.
Yes.
So, but we agree the reboot should have been the original, and good job, because she's
yes.
Because what she has done is she is the commercial incarnation of what a rapper should be in today's generation. For all those says, I don't know what's going on with, like, I don't like Glorilla, I don't like Lotto, blah, 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 right? The Doja projects is the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bar of making a rounded album when she's on her A game. That's the bar.
Yeah.
That's the bar.
I mean, it's borderline. I'm gonna step out on a whim and think of just the timing of music at that time. She is literally like when you got the Little Kims of the world, the everybody else's of the world, the Missy Elliott, who's just gonna do music the right way. You know what I'm saying? She's gonna come with music that's like, I don't know what y'all talking about.
But here's the album we're gonna listen to.
This is somebody doing music the right way. That's what she does.
And it's the choice of the room, by the way, too, right? If you got 20 people in the room,
we're going to put on like Doja. That one.
Go put on Doja. Right. I like Lotto. Right. You know, Cardi, we might be talking about Cardi over Cardi, yeah. But we're listening to Cardi because of her life.
Right.
Right? But if we're listening to an album, we're going to listen to Doja. So you're right. Okay, so here we go. We'll recap. Okay. Might Delete Later J. Cole, we co-sign. Bryson Tiller, we throw in the trash.
Basura.
Glorilla, I say give it a chance. You'll give it a chance. Fair statement?
Yeah, I'll listen to it.
Okay, because she sounds clear, and we both co-signed Doja Cat. That's verified.
Doja Cat, yes.
That's verified. That's the V. She's that's good. The V. That's the V. That's the V. Qualified. No, sorry. I'm sorry. That's qualified. Q-C. Right. That's qualified. Okay. I have to edit that out, maybe. We'll see. All right, here we go. Verified. I make a real left turn, okay? I'm going to tell you two stories, and then I'm going to get into a topic of conversation, and you'll feel good about this, okay?
Okay.
Friend of mine, and I don't want to say when this happened, friend of mine was having a very, very tough year. Very, very tough year, like family situations, you know, health situations, you know, people, you know, in hospital situations, like very, very significant family bad situation to happen to that person. And me and that person were real close. We're more associates now. We were very, 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 very close. Okay. And she did not hear from me during this year of her going through a whole bunch of stuff.
Right. Okay?
Reason why she did not hear from me, because I was going through my own bunch of stuff.
Right.
So literally, while she's dealing with hers, I'm dealing with mine. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What she chose to do at the end of that year is send me a very long text message conversation. Had to be maybe four pages of text message. Okay. One text basically stating that, you know, I'm okay, I'm good, but I've had a very tough year. A lot of things have been going on, and I really needed my friends, and you weren't there. So I guess we never really were friends to begin with. And gave me that whole female emotional soliloquy of download. Okay.
Gaslighting.
Okay.
She gaslit you like a mother.
And at the end of it, right, to put a period on your senses of gaslighting, she basically says, you don't have to respond to what I said. I just wanted to let you know.
Oh, yeah. Big okay? gaslight.
when you said that, right? So I sat back and I went through my range of emotions. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, I sent her a response, and my response was, in full-blown Whoopi Goldberg mode from Ghost, ditto.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything you're saying, I'm saying the same exact thing. Because that's what
happened. Copy-paste.
Yeah.
Right, because if you were my friend, you would know I was going through some shit, too. You know what I'm saying? So
you didn't even pick up the phone. You don't even know, because you didn't even pick up the phone to say, are you okay? Right. And mind you, but I did not send her a text message stating my disdain with our friendship. I clearly right. said maybe something is going on. Story number one. Story number two is young lady that we'll just call it the young lady, okay? And I were in a very good space at a point in time. I won't say when it was. At a point in time, and what happened was that basically through distance, because I traveled and she traveled, and through miscommunication with text messages and FaceTimes that pick up and drop off and stuff like that, we had a lot of miscommunication what was going on. We were trying to figure it out. And then what happened is it came to a head when I think I FaceTimed her. She didn't pick up, no big deal. She FaceTimed me. I didn't get it because her phone was janky, okay, whatever it was. And then she called me and says, why didn't you pick up my FaceTime? I said, because I didn't get your FaceTime, okay? Mm-hmm. She says, I don't believe you, all right? And then from there, we were in a downhill place of space, okay? And I kind of said to myself, you know, because it reminded me of the previous conversation, which brings me to the topic of conversation, which is, you know, this fucking technology with communication, and effective listening and effective communication has really gotten in the damn way of progress within relationships, because we're really losing the message of what we actually may feel or what our intentions are or what we are doing, because we're leaving it to our fingertips rather than picking up the phone and having real conversations. So you can hear context, so you can hear tone of voice. Because if I hang up from you right now and say, love you, bro. Well, after this podcast, you know what I mean when I say that. Okay, if you get that from me at 10 o'clock in the, or 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, but what the hell is wrong with him? Okay, it's kind of early telling you love me, but it could be something right. Simple as me looking at this podcast in the morning and then comment right. with you, but you don't know that, but you don't get that if you don't have context. Okay, right. So this is becoming a real problem for me when it comes with my dynamic, because it's not that I don't want to use technology, it's here to stay. I'm just sitting back and saying that. Like, my last few conversations with the young lady was me sending her voice messages as we were going back and forth. I refused to text. And she was saying, why are you not texting? I said, because I don't want you to lose context of what I'm saying here right now. Because you might think I'm being sarcastic. You might think that I'm trying to punk you. You might try to think I'm
you might read it with some different energy.
And I'm telling you, call me afterwards. Don't text me afterwards. So that way that effective communication is there. What have you experienced, or what are your thoughts in that lane? Because I truly, truly think that, I want to say, almost a quarter of our relationships currently are being affected by that non-effective listening or non-effective communication based upon technology or just in general.
So I was kind of having a conversation like this. And in terms of growing up, right? I was a kid a while ago. But we didn't have this type of instant connect. There was no pressure to be available like today. You barely even called people you knew. You went outside, you found them, you went and bumped into them. It was different. Now, you
randomly went to their block.
Yeah, like knocked on their door. If they was there, they was there. But it was no, you know, call ahead. You was just outside. You go see what they're doing. Let's go over here. Let's jump on the train and go see this person. Maybe they there. Maybe they not. We don't know. We find out when we get there. So we had less invested in right now.
Also, you got to know the neighborhood as well, too.
Right.
Right. You might not know you in the neighborhood because you would be around. They would see you coming around. There'll be that connection.
They know. That's such you a know those thing. People. Right. Oh, you looking for him. He just went to the supermarket. Stuff right. like that. Like, it was different. Now, it's so much grabbing your attention that people want the gratification like this. So, like, even when you talk about videos, to think that started out doing vines, right? This was 15 seconds max, right? 15 seconds max. Now, then, you know, people like your Instagrams, they start letting you put videos. And if you figure you pick up your phone for 30 minutes, you've probably scrolled across 100 things, maybe more, in that moment. Slipped out, answered a text message, this, that, and the third. It's the pressure of feeling like you have to be available because you have a phone. I text you, you should have responded. Or I called you, you should have been available because it's a phone in your hand.
You have technology, so for you not to respond sounds crazy to me, right?
To me, because I sat here and waited for you to respond for some weird-ass reason, but like the whole world froze because they text you. You know what I'm saying? There's not something you could be doing. It's not, are you okay? Because I text you, you haven't responded. It's more so like, fuck you. You ain't responding to me. You know what I'm saying? It's less of a, it's, I know nothing's wrong. People take that for granted in that space. Like the way you could communicate with people, they just feel like it's an obligation. And it's not like it was back in the day when you could get on a house phone with somebody and actually feel like, oh shit, what's up? And you have a conversation. But that's not happening 30 times a day. You know what I'm saying? A text message isn't happening 30 times a day. An instant message, you be on AIM, dial up and all of that. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't so right now, but people got so accustomed to right now that that's why it's hard to even keep connections with people because so they're so distracted with options. As soon as you die off, they feel like, oh, well, you know, this person actually texted me that day and I had a car accident and they happened to call me, but, you know, they, you know, give a fuck about me. You didn't call me. But it's like it was a day I didn't talk to you, or it was 2 months I didn't talk to you. That shit is like it changes everything now because of all of the people that they're interacting with on a daily basis online, liking posts, reactions, liking comments. All of that stuff makes it seem so dilute and watered down that people are just weighing their options, man, and they are literally holding that against you. I saw a meme where this guy did this and you don't do this, and now it becomes something weird that has nothing to do with your dynamic because they are soaking in so much other shit from everywhere else that it makes it seem like, oh, I didn't talk to you all day. This is like, and that really, type of stuff is crazy.
What it also doesn't allow to do either, we spoke about, like, not so much back in the day, but like say how Vines were 15, Vines being 15 seconds. Watch what that still allows you to do. It still allows you to take the time to say, what exactly do I want to say?
Right.
When you're going to visit the guy and you're going to take the train to his house, what are you going to say? You have mm-hmm. something in your head. It's put together. Okay. So right. what I realized with these two circles I just told you about, me personally, I'm fine. If we go back to being in the best of both worlds with what we dealt with dynamic wise, because mm-hmm. I've come to terms with the fact that I know what happened. It was miscommunication. It was technology. It was too much, as you said. It was too much energy overload or information overload that mm-hmm. you. So as you came down from that high, it's almost like drinking, taking a 40 straight to the head. So when you came down from that, you reacted instantaneously because you got this shit right here in your head rather than going working through your system. So I'm okay with it. Just takes a little bit of time. It's just miscommunication. It's okay. We just get better at it. We recognize what it is and take the time to feel how you really feel. Because of course I'm in my feels with both of them, but where I am today, because I haven't spoken to them, is that I'm able to put together my thoughts of how I truly feel about it. More so than saying, well, you want some bullshit, because that's what also happens too when you get information overload. You mm-hmm. instantly react more so than process properly. But let me wrap this up because we can go back and forth because I don't want to sound like 2 minutes and just complaining about it. Okay.
Right, right, right.
I always say we need to effectively listen, effectively communicate. Give me one thing, a piece that you think would help with effectively communicating as well as effectively listening. So I know one thing, and I'm gonna try not to do it when you start speaking right now. I know one thing that speaks to not effectively listening is when people jump in your conversation to state their feelings. It's almost like they're listening to react rather than listening to understand.
Absolutely.
I'll let you go from there, go ahead.
and that, just removing. So I'm a person that naturally, when I'm being told something, don't add myself in right away, because it could get really hijacked in that sense and you could miss the point. It could not serve the purpose of the person that's talking to you. You could literally make this about you. And I kind of hate when people do that, like make it about them. But listening, just actually listening, like if you were a diary, letting somebody just pour it out, maybe ask them stuff just to get their emotions. But when you start to try to fix shit, or you know, it just gets crazy. People don't listen these days to understand, as you were trying, like kind of saying, they kind of listen to respond, right? Oh, this girl did this, and I was just telling this nigga, and it's not about what they was telling you no more. Is more so about, Oh yeah, you know, I could connect with that. I got that same thing going on, and you know, maybe they was trying to get something more out of it, but people are so quick to just, you know, interject and toss around ideas because everybody has opinions now. It's fucking internet, it's crazy. But nobody's actually listening and just understand. Like, you could say one thing wrong, they'll damn your whole thing that you said. Or you might be talking to somebody and you have female experience. I know that in your age, you have the same experiences I have, and you know how many times in your life you've had a word or a statement hijack your whole point, and they get caught up on one word. Oh, so this, and it's like, you know, that's not even what I was talking about, but that's people, you know what I'm saying? That's not effective listening. They don't really care what you got to say. They are just not trying to be wrong, right? So in that thought process, they're just listening to something that they can argue, debate, and go on. And those conversations, your best bet is to shut the fuck up. Don't even say nothing. It is not going to fix the problem at that point. I would come back to it later when they're not just whatever. If they don't care what I got to say, cool. But I'm not about to argue your point
I'm not going to argue your point when the initial point was, let's discuss what's happening with me.
Right. Like, how do we, like, how do we get here, you know?
Hijack the conversation, because I'm pulled to tell you what I was dealing with, and somehow we're talking about your situation. How do we get here? So here's what I've learned very simply as a step one towards effectively communicating compared to effectively listening. Okay. When you're effectively communicating, try to minimize the use of the word I and say what you. So for example, if I'm speaking about my relationship, I don't talk about saying, you know what this bitch did? It's more of like, well, you're a person that has dealt with plenty of relationships. You may be a good person to talk to about this. Mm-hmm. Then start playing the circumstance. Not I, because it's almost like, pay attention to me. So it's like, I want to have a conversation with you about what's going on with me. Okay.
Right.
So on the effective communication side, try not to say I. Okay. Minimize your I. And when you're effectively listening, like you just said, once the word I is instituted, remove yourself from the situation as if you're watching a movie rather than listening to the person to see what you're observing. That way you can give a qualitative thought process of what's going on. So if we both see the killer coming through the back door, we both go, oh shit. Rather you say, I did this, I did this, I did this. Well, why didn't you move? Well, by that time you're already dead based upon the movie. Based upon the movie. Right. So that's what that is. I bring that up because it's so much getting in the way of healthy relationships, okay, that it's becoming a point where, I don't know if you're doing this, where you're almost pick, choosing, and refusing who to talk to about what, because it's not even possible for them to do so. I learned this from you, okay? I learned that you were an effective communicator and an effective listener. It's not that I did not know that, okay? Mm-hmm. I just didn't recognize how strong of a skill it was for you. Okay. Until I probably, in a venting way, because I've been doing a little bit more of that lately, just kind of let out a lot of stuff. And as I let it out, because I just had to let it out per se, you received it. You received it from a standpoint of not that you messed up or you did right or you did wrong. You received it as, let me help you walk this journey of this conversation. Okay.
Let's unpack this.
Yes.
This came off for you're trying to put this in this bag, but let's see what we actually trying to put in here. You know what I'm saying? Let's see what we actually processing. What are you trying to take on this mental journey that you're going on? Let's figure it out. And you can't shy away from that. It has nothing to do with me, but it's more so like
you got
to
run towards it because it's few and far between. Or you're getting what you need in the moment that you're needed. So why would you run from that? Why would you run from that? Right? So I just wanted to bring it up. I want to get into that a little bit more, not so much on this podcast, but in general, because I'm just saying that as a gradual statement. I didn't want to get into like the male to male relationships with your boys. the male to female relationships with your friends, with your, you know, with your close ones. Same thing with your family members, because there's a dynamic with that with your family, which is a problem. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's there's good and there's a lot of bad to it. There's a connection to it with the one that you love, or the one that loves you, or with your loved ones, because of how much they care about you to a certain extent, right? And then when you have your colleagues, it's almost a half glass full of what they want to see compared to what they want to see happen. And then you're going to find out a lot about who really truly cares about you.
Right.
Within that dynamic. So I just want to kind of start that there, and I'll bring it back up in other podcasts, stuff like that. But effective communication and effective listening, very, very important, because that's why I brought up those two things. Because one was a phone scenario, like text phone scenario. And the other was a pure text conversation. Whereas if we were in each other's face, I'm 1,000% sure neither circumstance would ever happen.
None of them.
It would never happen. Never happen. But that's the crazy technology. And that is verified.
Verified.
Yeah, that's verified. That's the V. All right, so now we're going to certified. That's the C. And that was the original onus of why we're even doing this podcast, because we had a conversation about this and I said, wow, this is very interesting. Okay. What? Let me say it very tally. What in the entire fuck does a record label do today?
You know, when you first asked me the question before, I had time to think about it. And I don't know if it's genius or I don't know, but the bait and switch is crazy. So when I think about artists today, I don't know any labels who broke artists. I think they've gotten rid of the entire risk of artists failing on their dime.
I would say, especially on the urban side.
Especially the urban side. And I'm talking about R&B, hip hop, like, you know, I'm talking about that genre in specific.
Because a quick sidebar that I want you to take off. Because Billie Eilish is one of those SoundCloud artists that people found. But once the label got her, they took care of her. They just said, where are your followers? Where are you going? They said, no, we got to get this girl with this producer, this writer. They developed her.
Her work.
And they took her Adidas image and made that stardom. Okay? But otherwise, they said, what the fuck are you wearing? I'm wearing rock t-shirts and Adidas. And show-toed Adidas. Right. I'm staying like this. They ran with that. So it says, said it as an exception to the rule. Because we're speaking about the rule right now. Please continue.
So in that same thought process, now they put all the pressure on you to make it make sense
before they get involved.
If it don't work, you don't even get to the conversation. We're not at this table. We're not having a discussion. And even if you get to the table, they then send you back out to be like, well, let me see what you do. And then if you do some more, we got you. Right? Instead of before, the whole artist development and everything, they removed themselves from that.
So all this development is non-existent. Artist development. Done. Okay.
They remove themselves from that.
If there's an artist development person at a label, they're probably stealing money because they're probably not even giving them work to do. Think about that.
Or they're doing the backhand job that labels did was go buy the streaming platforms. Okay. So Spotify is ran by a label.
Or their job is to be maintenance. Go make sure that Cardi doesn't get into a fight tonight because Nicki Minaj is going to be there. That's your job.
Right. Okay. If that.
Now,
if
so,
that.
So we just spoke about Bryson Tiller, who signed to a major. Okay?
And I was going to speak on that too.
That means there's an A&R person in there. What the fuck does the A&R person do today?
And I think in Bryson's case specifically, just this album, I think they thought Diddy was going to do more than he did.
Oh, very interesting. Because of Gonna Move On.
Because he had... So Outside was fucking smashed the last year. Outside and the other one, no love, I guess I got to move on, I guess. So
That's a Diddy record.
Back to back... It was like, holy shit, I like this person. Diddy might be on to some shit, right? So then I think life got a little too hectic, and Diddy couldn't focus on Bryson.
Or
any artist, really, because Jazzy's dying. Like
or Bryson ran, could have been the same thing happened to him that happened to Usher. Ran around with Diddy and said, oh no.
I can't do it. Right, I can't. That's too much life for me.
Way too much life for me.
But without that air in the room of Puff, because when you was with Puff, when you was around Puff, when Puff was saying yes or no, Bryson was putting out some really fucking good music.
Fair statement. When Puff was on speed dial, the records were better. Now, that's half. Okay, so answering the question again, what the fuck does the A&R person do today? Because you just spoke to literally whether he was paid for it or if he was on speed dial, just have conversation on Sunday. Diddy was A&R-ing Bryson Tiller.
Yes.
He was A&R-ing him creatively to do things better, okay?
Absolutely.
I don't know what A&Rs do today, okay? Because
they're not doing that.
For example, the first Doja Cat album, okay?
Right.
There was an A&R guy there that fucked this up, if you follow.
A&R stepped in and was like, somebody has to say it if nobody's going to say it.
And that's what happened with the second version of the album.
Right. Like, now you got to do...
Right? You know my basic statement. Clearly, an executive walked in the room.
In the room, yeah.
Got to do something different here. Because this
something was not right. Fix this.
Those did not get on the fucking Peloton and go to the barbershop and decide to make a fucking new project. The label said, an executive said, you sold way too many records with that 2021 album for this shit here to be at one third or one fifth of those sales at this point. We got to fix this shit.
Are you done? Like, are you done doing whatever the fuck you wanted to do? Because we let you do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Again.
But are you done? Because now it's time to make music again. Bitch.
Because like, if it's Drake, this is where labels get in trouble. Because I want to keep going to what labels don't do. Because when you're Drake with OVO, I don't know if we need an A&R guy.
I don't think they have room for it in his process.
Okay, even whatever that is, not necessary.
Get the fuck out of here. Right.
We're good. Okay. But if you're Lola Brooke, okay, if you're Nicki, watch this. If you're Nicki Minaj, not because she can't make good records, is that she's going to exhaust the budget three times over before we get to the fucking record. If you follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Her budget. Okay. We got to figure something out here. So I don't know what A&Rs are doing because an A&R person at this point should be responsible, should halfway be the marketing person. If you're not going to be in the studio actually making the records, then watch this. Then you need to be the sole source of recording the process to help promote this process for when it comes. You sit there with the camera phone every damn day and take pictures, take photos, take videos, and send it to marketing. Because you're going to be around the most. Help market this damn thing. Rather than sit there smoking and eating with them, be involved in the process. That's A&R.
If you're not going to help Ice Spice find a record, then at least get her to chill with Taylor Swift. Get her to chill with Taylor Swift so they could go to the fucking, whatchamacallit. Introduce those motherfuckers somehow.
Right.
Make them friends. Something got to happen, but you got to use your influence somehow.
Rogers hairdresser and introduce
right. right. Do it this way.
Okay.
Something got to go.
Her a fucking stylist. Do something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because from what I'm hearing, like you said, even when they're submitting material, the label is basically saying, you do everything. We'll come see you once you catch fire. And say, catching fire, we should be involved. Now, that's A&R, because there's something else I want to get into. With social media and going direct to artists, like literally Enough was not out.
Nope.
Cardi did a video in her sweatpants and no makeup on, singing Enough in the studio. And everybody said, when's that record coming out?
Right.
Okay. It was not a single, wasn't released, wasn't on the street. It was her with her hair not done in sweatpants, sitting there next to a soundboard performing the song. This is after Bongos. This is after all this other stuff. This is just Cardi with like what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what does promotions do? The only thing that I see promotions can do that is viable, and you debunk this one, is major radio promotion. Because Cardi B can't walk up to the radio station and say, play my record. The label has to do that. So outside of that, and you're going to debunk it when I finish talking, what does the promotions guy do? Because like marketing, they're coming after the fact.
Yeah. All they could do is pay for streams and make it look like something is not. Try to switch the algorithm with some money because they got enough money to influence the algorithm. They can make it happen. But organically, it's bullshit. I don't, like I said, I don't even know the last song I listened to on the radio. So playing a song on the radio to me means absolutely nothing because I haven't heard it. I don't listen to the radio.
Because Enough had nothing to do with the radio.
Right, nothing. Literally. I mean, shit. If you fucking look at somebody like Money Long, right? Money Long drops hours and hours. You can tell that that was radio pushed. I mean, like, industry, yeah. Label pushed. That was a song that they decided they were going to push.
They were going to be right? Behind. Yes.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, because I'm almost positive, that song that's out now came out with Hours and Hours. It did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
A girl on TikTok decided to throw some pajamas and a bonnet on. And did the whole twin, what money, know me, like you. And she used it.
And then it
grew late. It became a fucking song that is now on the radio, but the label couldn't do that.
And it baby, like, and that became a baby challenge. Because what happens is that you saw girls yes. left and right putting on their pajamas or in a domestic mode, singing to mm-hmm. their men, singing to their men about this. And it became a thing. So, yes. Yes.
Yeah. And now that promotion is far more prominent than whatchamacallit. Because yeah, Hours and Hours was a record. I liked it. It was dope. It has nothing on this song. This song is here. My daughter's like this song. She's like that. I wanna hear that Money Long song. What's the name of it? She told me the name. I'm like, oh, that's the name of this? I hear it on Instagram and everywhere else all day. This record grew legs. How they used to say that, your record grew legs. You know what I'm saying? It grew legs. It's sort of like LMA and Boot Up. They put that song out a year before it actually grew legs.
Yeah, absolutely.
It so, happens. Like, so radio, it just goes on its own. They can't pick them no more. So they radio, don't know.
The radio, so they can't pick a song. They pick Hours and Hours. But it's still, but the effort of what a promo guy has to do now outside of radio promotion. And like you said, that's only in the eyes of the label to a certain extent. Almost as I'm not getting rid of my DVD player type of shit.
Nope.
Okay.
Right.
As far as they're doing business wise to say, we still gotta go to radio with this. Do we?
Do no.
We? Okay. But for the label, watch it. But to Jedi mind trick themselves into still having a staff in the building, they'll have the meeting and ask the question. Because mm-hmm. if I walk in a room and say what I just said to them, and I work for label, I'm getting fired. Because I just exposed, when I expose that, you know that Cardi B just did a TikTok video in her pajamas, and
mm-hmm.
she did one verse of a song, and basically her whole fan base said, that sounds like Bodak Yellow to me. I want that.
I need that. Send that.
That's literally what they said. That sounds like Bodak Yellow. I want that. And out of nowhere, y'all scrambled to shoot a fucking video and put this shit out. And y'all had no intention of doing that. She's still in her process of finishing her album. She's doing what Nicki did, what Diddy did, what they all, she's playing little snippets of stuff while she's finishing up before she gets done. So we just debunked A&R, okay, from a core standpoint. We just debunked promotion. And this is another one that you spoke to that I'm like, fuck, we need this person for unless it's some big shit like the Met Gala. We need a publicist for.
You don't need that shit. You don't need articles. You don't need... Nobody's reading them shits.
Unless you're going to something. After you're mm-hmm. here at the iHeart Music Festival, you need a publicist to help arrange and organize that shit. Okay? Mm-hmm. If you're going to the Met Gala, who are you going with? So we can make sure we speak to this. But it's still...
Mm-hmm.
It pops. Remember, publicist is supposed to help you pop.
Yeah, it's reactive. It's not proactive. It's definitely reactive. They're literally just... managing it for you.
And remember, Publicist initially, A&R's, there was a day where the promo guy or the A&R guy, even the marketing person, was team you. Team mm-hmm. you, people you got to go. The publicist was, just let me know when the album's coming out so I can make my phone calls.
There was some, so I could start putting it places.
Yeah, they wasn't fucking with you. They wasn't trying to help you get someplace. They may have done it in a core sense of, for example, you know, if you're Muni Long, you know, Alicia Keys is going to be here. You should go. It ain't you know, at the iHeartRadio Festival, they're going to have an open mic situation where the artists sing before they go inside, for argument's sake. You should go there so they can hear you sing. And then I'll try to get you a seat in this section. That's what it's supposed to be. But now Well, she's already popular. Let's talk about the Met Gala. Let's talk about, you know, the inauguration for the president. Let's talk about what's going to be at the Super Bowl. All the big events, you're trying to fit them in if they're big enough to fit in the box. You're not trying to make them big anymore.
Mm-hmm. Because they could drown in that, too. If you try to put them in something that's too much, it's over. Like you try to give Daniel Caesar a fucking Grammy performance, he's drowning.
If Giveon didn't have on that sweater, he drowned too.
If Giveon didn't have the sweater on, it's over. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just a bad move. Like, they're not ready for that yet because, you know, you got to develop them a little more. But with how fast-paced everything is, it's just crazy. Like, you're going to either crash or burn or make it. And you don't even need music to do it no more. In the music industry.
Marketing falls in that same category too. Each one of them fall in the same category.
It's now don't even need music.
So what do you need them for? So now I'm gonna talk about how smart an artist can be. And if she watches this podcast, she might actually say, you know what? Fuck them. I'm doing it this way. Cardi has hustled the hustle.
Yeah.
Because Cardi hasn't put an album out in 6 years. She's basically done side appearances and been a personality, and that's been enough.
Enough to make money.
To make money and fuck the label.
Yep, fuck y'all. I don't need y'all.
Okay, y'all can take this download money, but I don't need y'all. I can go on a elementary school tour and speak in auditoriums and be just as fucking popular as I am now, if not even more.
She's been on a Hot 100 for the last year and a half without an album.
Without a record.
No records. Of her own. She's been on a part of records. She's dropped here and there, but
she has absolutely been the best side artist to act for 8 bars or 12 bars in the past. Okay? I need 10 to 16 bars. Where's Cardi? I'm available. And she delivers. Right. And she delivers every single time. Even if it's the same verse done a different way, you do not say, this bitch is whack. You never say that. You say, she's doing Cardi the Cardi way, and every once in a while, she goes in like she's fantastic. But she has done everything we just spoke about, what you don't need from a label, Cardi does not need.
Nope.
She does not need an A&R person. She does not need a promotion person. She does not need a publicist. She needs a manager just to manage her shit.
Yeah, and she needs stylist. A cell phone with that's like not dead.
Right. And a stylist because she likes fucking fashion.
Right.
She needs Deb Anthony and Misa Hilton.
Facts. That's
and she's fine. Everything else will take care of herself. Okay? Because she even got a little bit, because the Bronx in her even has a little bit of an ear. Because she may have put out records that have not hit. Okay? But she has not Bryson Tillered us.
No, absolutely not.
We have not said, what the fuck is she doing?
Yeah, we're not talking about like 21 Savage here. Like, somehow he's the feature of all features, but every time I hear him, it's like, why the fuck they keep getting 21 Savage?
Why they call you?
Yeah, like, why they keep calling you, bro? Like, I'm not understanding what the fuck is happening right now. She's not doing that. You know what I'm saying? But if
these kids are watching, Cardi has given them the business model of how to be a successful music artist without making albums. And still eat for real. So we spoke about that. Okay, so only things that labels have that really work and has nothing to do with is the legal departments still have to work because they have to clear samples and clear rights and sync licenses and stuff like that, right? So the finance department works to cut the checks. The lease department cuts the checks. What we also have figured out But what we also know the artists don't know is that y'all gotta stop talking this whole bullshit about I own my masters.
Fuck your masters.
Okay.
The label. That's how they see it. Yeah, they don't give a fuck about that shit.
They still have the sync licensing rights, which means that they can call Coca-Cola. And Coca-Cola has to call them to use the fucking material. And if they, right. if they give up the sync licensing rights, they'll keep it for the first five. As a trade-off, you getting your masters, they'll keep mm-hmm. the sync license for another 5 to 10 years. And you think you're mm-hmm. getting over, but no. That's why fucking everybody is in a Gatorade commercial right now. Keep your master, Nikki. We got this Gatorade commercial popular if you're making money that way.
Yeah.
Okay?
Literally.
That's what we're doing. So stop acting like being proud of having your masters some badge of honor. Now, I get creatively and artistically, okay, to be able to tell your grandkids, your dad still has his masters. And if you ever broke one day, you could sell one of daddy's masters to an old record company. I get that thought process. But stating it as if you have done the due diligence that nobody else has done, you're not watching the magic trick that's going on here, sir. You're looking at the left hand, you're not seeing what's going on with the right hand.
Right, because unless you have a catalog that's deep, the masters is not going to really do nothing for you. Oh, you own all your music, but it don't go nowhere. Nobody hears it. Nobody does this. It's not selling the way albums sold back in the day.
And what, like, you said, they don't know what to do with it business-wise once they have it.
Like, what are you going to do with it? You're not fucking calling Tide, nigga. You're not calling these people to use your song. AT&T, you're not on the phone with these niggas. The labels was on the phone with those niggas, so they was gonna get more from your masters than you. Now they're letting you do what you're gonna do with your masters, and it might end up in what, 2K or some shit, maybe, if you fucking right. lucky. But other than that, nigga,
won't get your shit in the next fucking Ralph Fiennes, you know, Emily Blunt movie.
Okay? Yeah, it's not. Fucking Bad Boys 4 right now. Like, they're not using your shit there, nigga.
But you know what I'm saying? Here's what labels will do that artists can do. Whatever that next Notebook movie is going to be, they'll put your song in that. That's
immediately.
Forever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When you become, I've had the time of my life in Dirty Dancing, that's your label working your ass off for you.
Yeah. like if the label owns Scissors Masters, you could hear Snooze in the next 10 romantic movies coming up. It's going to be in there just because, right? But she's not going to get that shit in the movies.
They'll put Snooze in an Scream movie because the person
will yeah, right.
and kill him.
Just because. I can't lose, nigga. If I snooze, they sleep and die, nigga, and it's in there. Just because we want to get money off of that shit.
But SZA does not have that Rolodex.
SZA's not doing that. Yeah.
You're 1,000% correct.
That's why Diddy gave all them niggas they masters back. Because he was like, yeah, yo, fuck it, yo. At the end of the day, I don't need that shit. Plus, I still got my rights on the song because I'm in there as a writer anyway. I'm in there as a producer anyway. I'm in there as everything else anyway. You can own your part of your masters, but nigga, I still own my part, so who gives a shit? I'm gonna eat off this shit.
And when they want to put Bad Boy for Life in the movie, yes, Mark Curry, you and Black Rob own the masters. They still got to come see me for the sync licensing.
Absolutely.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Right, you just want the masters. It's like, yeah, you own the song, but you're not selling the song. Licensing-wise, they still got to come and puff.
They still got
to
come.
And the only reason you're going to get anything is because they can come to puff. They're not going to you.
They don't even think you can handle the language in the contract if they sent it to you.
Right. They like, yeah, so Puff hot, fix, you know, pay them whatever they get paid, but
right.
at the end of the day,
we'll deal with you.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I give you the work, I give it wherever you give it.
Black Rob's mother, because Black Rob's mother, remember Black Rob's passed away. She has no idea what I'm telling her right now. So why don't I give it to you and you pay Black Rob's mother?
Yeah, you pay her and that's it, bro. Give her what she, give her whatever she's owed, whatever you own, however it goes, whatever. But this is only happening because of Puff.
There you go.
Shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can own your masters. Who gives a shit? Y'all not going to make the money off of it I was making off of it.
What does the world have to look forward to? What is next on your agenda? What is on your action list that we should be looking for from you? Or what is it that you're working on that may not be happening today, but it will be happening sooner than people think it's going to happen?
Sooner than people think it's going to happen. So I got this installment of 4 EPs that I've been doing. I already put the first one out. Pain Club President is out already. Game of Hearts was slated to come out end of April. Now I'm still battling with the thought process of a rap EP, because I honestly still feel like there's room for it. Even though in my EPs and the music I created lately, I really dove into the R&B vibe of it all. I think the Diamonds from Concrete album or EP installment in the 4 EP series is gonna be rap heavy. Like,
so basically, concept wise, they're almost a flip. Almost a flip, yeah. Right? Whereas these are okay. I got you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're rapping on this album, and that's just gonna be the vibe of it. And I'm thinking about putting them, like, I don't know if I want to say together, because they won't be together. It'll be two separate ones, but like the same time. So when you get Game of Hearts, and then you're gonna get Diamonds from Concrete, is gonna be two totally. Speaker Box, Love Below.
I was gonna say that myself, by the way. Okay.
Yeah. All
right, and that's coming sooner than we think.
That's coming sooner than you think. Okay. Before your kids get out of school.
Okay. Give them the socials again.
Official Chris Gray everywhere. Where Official Chris Gray on everything you can search it is there. If you're just looking for the music, Chris Gray. Look for the beard, because it's going to be in the picture. Evidently, there's another fucking Chris Gray somewhere making music. It's kind of weird. That's why I think I just want to go full C Greasy on him, but oh, I don't know. You know.
I'm Easy, at Gotham Jungle, all socials, YouTube for the video, everywhere else for your podcast. We could do this for another hour.
Probably more, but yeah.
But we're just giving you a break so we can break it up and come back and...
Yeah, so you don't get too tired of us.
And do it again. Maybe it's, you know, and this is what's important. I want you guys to understand, Culture Nation. This is very important, okay? We could have easily sat here and spoke what was happening with Diddy.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, go someplace else for that. Okay? Yes. We easily could have sat back here and talked about Cat Williams. Okay? Mm-hmm. And Monique. And then mm-hmm. Chris Brown. And then all the other people have been on Club Shay Shay. Go someplace else for that. Okay? Mm-hmm. What you're not getting is you're not hearing the word sync licensing in a podcast.
Right. You're not actually talking about what's really happening. Qualitative, man. That's the key word here.
You're not getting grown men speaking about the dynamics of their involvement with people in their lives and having strength of character to speak about the truth, the facts, and not be on some alpha male egotistical stance rather than not being realistic.
Yeah, also, we're not talking about what they bring to the table here.
Right. And lastly, to speak to the first point that was qualitative. And we're not sitting here scared. You just see how we broke down the ineffectiveness of what a label represents right now, right? We're not sitting here saying that, you know, well, Bryce Till's album, you know, it's kind of okay. You know, you might like it. No, it's trash.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's bad. It's bad.
It's not.
Because of what he did with SoundCloud, lets you know all types of talent he has. So to do this is just a horrible mistake. And you even gave a better point. He was working with Diddy, and he was going in a great R&B place. He was heading in a great R&B direction.
His trajectory was on.
Went off and crashed his fucking head.
Something happened, man. Something happened. And Diddy backed out of Bryson Tiller's situation.
Or Bryce backed out of Diddy's
situation. Or Bryson backed out of the Diddy situation. And his music took a hit. Because I think what he was doing with Diddy had our expectations high.
Oh, absolutely.
So now it was just kind of like, oh, Bryson might, this might actually be his lane. Because, you know, for like a little while, it was kind of like, I don't know.
Gotta move on. I completely, not that I forgot about it, I didn't put that in the equation. That makes it even worse for me as an album. You follow me?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now remember this now. Small sidebar if you're paying attention. Gotta Move On is not on the Love album.
It's not. It's not anywhere. It was just a song that I was expecting to hear on this album.
As part of the album. Remember, the album is just, the album cover is just as red as the album cover of the album.
Mm-hmm.
the you know what I'm saying, the marketing themology of it is still the same thing. So I don't know what happened yet. I think he must have spoke to, you know, one of the girls from Danny Kane and just changed his mind. I don't know what the fuck happened. Called day 26.
Something happened.
Called day 26 and said, I'm done.
Okay. I'm not doing it. Loon or somebody hit him up like, bro, get the fuck out of there, bro. Something happened and he left. But either way, I would have liked to see what Diddy did with Bryson musically. Everything else is out of my jurisdiction. But musically, I think he was really good for Bryson.
I think if Diddy just said yes, no, do it over, do it again, let Stevie J mix it, all that would have been beneficial. Let Mario Winans play a solo on this. All that would have been beneficial. I'm gonna send Jazzy over just to do backgrounds. I think that all that would have been beneficial. So we'll see. All right. But again, I just want to give you a dose, Goju Nation, of why you come here than other places, because you won't get what you get here every place else. That's what I wanted to say. That was a long way of saying that.
Scenic route, but yes.
There you go. All right. Christian Gray, Tally, industry rule number 4080. More coming. Audio, video. You appreciate the perspective. And don't forget, light and darkness can exist at the same time. So if you're going to be one, represent the light. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right.